Welcome to First Reading, the Old Testament Lectionary Podcast. I'm Rachel Wren, and I teach Biblical Studies at Trinity Lutheran Seminary at Capital University.
And I'm Tim McNinch. I teach Hebrew Bible at Christian Theological Seminary. Well, here we are. We're at the end.
Yeah, we preached
Not it. The end of all things, but no. Just the end of our jaunt through the book of Revelation during the season of Easter.
Yeah.
Next week takes us to Pentecost, but for now, for June 1st, we have the end of the book of Revelation. This is chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. Mm-hmm. For some reason, we skip verse 15. And then we have 16 through 17. For some reason, we skip 18 and 19. And then we have 20 and 21. And to help us navigate this closing to the apocalypse is our own Reverend Dr. Rachel Wren. And before you jump into it, just a reminder to folks, please do take a moment to make your own jaunt on over to our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Search up First Reading, find our channel, and subscribe to it if you haven't already. It'll tell the algorithm to send us far and wide.
Yes.
And help us to build our audience even more. So thanks for taking a minute to do that on our behalf.
Yeah, we appreciate the help.
With that, what do you have to say about this, Rachel?
I got a couple of things. It was hard to craft a whole sermon and teaching suggestions on this, in part because it is so piecemeal, and but it's also piecemeal of piecemeal. So the epilogue and benediction to the book of Revelation is not exactly... it reminds me a little bit of the end of the book of Nehemiah. Have you read that one lately, Tim?
Not in a while.
Okay, so it's sort of like there's this whole sort of story and narrative arc that's happening in Nehemiah, and then it sort of ends with just like bop, bop, bop. It's like, oh yeah, this, oh yeah, this, oh yeah, yeah. This.
I did a bunch of good stuff. Please remember me, God.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, it is. And it's sort of like that. Like you're kind of picturing, well, the like up until verse 8, you sort of see the end of the narrative arc. Why I think this is helpful to have is because it reminds us of what this thing actually is, which is a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Revelation was not originally written as a book. It was written as a letter.
Mm-hmm.
It was written to six different communities in and around Asia Minor today, you know, the sort of western side of Turkey. And here we have John closing up the letter. So we don't have this in our text, but back in verse 8, it says, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. So the vision has been completed, the hope has been offered, and now John turns the attention back to the audience. And so these are sort of like, hey, before you go, I just want you to know a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
So he finishes up a conversation with the angel who's been guiding him through it. And there is a final word from Jesus in verses 16 and kind of through 20. And then John has a final word. Amen, come Lord Jesus. And then verse 21 sounds sort of Pauline in its finishing. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Okay, so we start out as letter, and then we jump into narrative. And now we're finishing as letter again. And they're sort of like little threads that John is trying to tie up at this part. So if you're confused by this portion of the chapter, you kind of should be. Like, what the lectionary has done is tried to pull out the pieces that make it sort of the closing of the narrative and leave behind the pieces that are really the letter portions. You know, there's good and bad to both of that. Like I said, it's confusing just read as it is because it has these dual purposes that it's trying to accomplish. So I have sympathy with the lectionary creators on this one. At the same time, I want to press us to not try to tie it up with too neat of a bow. I think that one of the things that makes Revelation powerful is the fact that it's messy. It draws us. We've talked about mystery. We've talked about hope. We've talked about turmoil. We've talked about trauma. None of those things are clean. If you have hope, it's because you don't have the thing for which you are hoping. So there's probably pain or suffering or sorrow or some kind of thing. You know, the end of Disney movies, there's no more hope because the hope has been realized. And that's a different thing. in the book of Revelation, the hope isn't realized. It still remains hope. So I would encourage preachers to, at least as you're crafting your sermon, spend your time in the messiness of this chapter. And I'm going to throw a couple. So I'm not trying to throw pitfalls your way, and I'm hopefully going to get some things to preach on, but I just want to encourage you to do a little bit of the work so that your final sermon on the book of Revelation is with integrity with the book of Revelation, if that makes sense. So a couple of things that I would want to lift up, one of which, well, many of which are not in our lectionary text for today. One is verses 10 through 11. So we talked about this a little last time. The angel is speaking to John at the very end. He says, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." So with that sealing image, we're back to the sealed letter in chapters 5, 6, and 7 that is opened up. And the angel is saying, no, this is not just a message for the in crowd. This is a message for everyone. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. And it's not just for you. It's for everyone. Then we get verse 11. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. The filthy still be filthy. If you skip down then, verse 12 we get, see, I'm coming soon. My reward's with me. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Blessed are those who wash their robes. That's amazing. This is Jesus talking. We're so excited. Verse 15, outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Okay. That does not fit with the picture of Jesus that we like to present to the world, at least not in the ELCA. We really like to stop at verse 14. That is idea that all will be welcome, that all are invited, that all will be washed clean. When you're coming out of a time of turmoil and trauma, the lines are really clearly drawn. If someone is killing you and your family, they are the bad guys. If your family is suffering for what's right, they are the good guys. This comes out of a historical period where the type of violence that was going on called for these sort of like clear lines. So what we have in verse 15 is not judgment on people. It's a safety. It's a fence. It's a bracket against the people who are causing harm to a really vulnerable community. So I don't want you to ignore verse 15, but I also want you to hear verse 15 in the context in which it was written. That this was a community in danger, and the danger was real, and it was bloody, and it was painful. And so what's hoped for here is not that I don't like those people, and so they're kept out of Jesus's love, but that those types of people, and more importantly, those types of practices of pain and violence will not be allowed once Jesus comes again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we learned this lesson from studying the imprecatory Psalms, right? There's a sense of people who have been hurt lash out.
Yeah.
And texts that encode that need to be read with that understanding of that's in the background.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'm laughing inappropriately right now because one of my children learned the phrase hurt people hurt people. Yeah. So now when we're giving them consequences for their actions, they'll be like, hurt people hurt people.
My goodness.
They do, but this is not that. So, but yeah, I think that's a really great point and just something to keep in mind as you're as preaching from this. If you're coming from a vulnerable community who is being hurt and persecuted, the promise here is that that persecution will not continue. If you come from a privileged community that may be part of the persecutors, that might be another thing to think about bringing up in your sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Then, which we do, I think, get, I kind of lose track. We do get, 16 and 17 we get. And so Jesus is talking now. So it switches from John talking to angel, and then it's kind of revealed to be Jesus who has sent the angel. We get the, I am the root and descendant of David. So we're back to that historical Jewish background, the Israelite promises, not a throwing away of them, but a fulfilling of them. And then we have the bright morning star. Do you know that? My bright and shining star makes no difference what you say. Do you know that one?
I do not know that one.
Apocalypse the Musical. That's the one for you to learn.
All right. All right. Well,
but the bright morning star, it was interesting because I was curious about this. Isaiah 14 is the place where someone is talking to the king of Babylon and says, oh, how you have fallen, O day star.
Right.
And That's when it gets translated into Latin. That's where we get Lucifer from.
Exactly.
Shiny thing is Lucifero. And so I was like, oh my gosh, is Jesus calling himself Lucifer here? But sadly, it's not. So there's a distinction being made. What is being communicated with this Jesus, the bright morning star, is just this simple image of, you know, the new day beginning. When you are again, hoping for something, if you're hoping for morning to come, to know you've made it through the night and you're going to be safe, what are you watching for? You're watching for that first star, that bright morning star.
Yeah.
But again, notice that Jesus doesn't say, I'm the sun. Like, it's not here yet. It's not realized. It's still this hope mode. It's still this hope posture of Jesus saying, I am the harbinger of what's coming. I am the light that shows you it's about to be here.
Wow.
I think that's, again, verse 20, the one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. And the point of that, again, is not necessarily to say it's going to happen next week. The point of that is to say you have got to endure. You must keep the hope. You must keep the faith. You must endure. And I think that endurance is really the key preaching point of this final section of Revelation. So preachers, as you're thinking about preaching this, think about the endurance that your people need. What are they having to endure right now? What kind of word might need to be spoken into that moment of needing to put one foot in front of the other, of needing to endure? And as they do that, what kind of hope, what kind of meaning, and what kind of relationship with God do they need to be able to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really helpful. This book, this letter, doesn't end with a mic drop.
Yeah.
It ends with a liturgy, with an invitation to participate.
Great.
And so, I mean, verse 17 really stands out to me. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water as a gift of light. So there's an invitation to participation and really a kind of liturgical moment. I mean, yeah. Rosie would be jumping up and down right now. Like,
she absolutely would. No, I think that's a beautiful, point. And liturgy is always an invitation to relationship, both with each other and with God. So that meaning and that hope and the relationship is encoded in the type of genre that's used to give this message. So that's a beautiful point.
Well, that's probably enough to run with for this week. So thanks for giving a little bit of insight there, Rachel.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, friends, that'll wrap it up for this week, and it'll wrap up our series in Revelation. We're going to return, finally, to the Hebrew Bible next week. So stick around for that. You can find back episodes of our podcast on our website, firstreadingpodcast.com. Or you can find us in your podcast apps or over on the YouTubes, where we have a vibrant YouTube channel with a growing subscription. It's a whole community that is just blossoming over there on YouTube, and you can be a part of it by subscribing. So thanks for taking a moment to do that on our behalf. Come back and join us next week. Until then, I'm Tim McNinch.
Let the Spirit and Bride say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come.
To YouTube.
That's right. I'm Rachel Brand.
Happy apocalypse.